You know, this morning, Carter was baptized, and there's a couple of reasons why this will be very memorable for him. One is that he got to stand before you, he stood up here, he professed publicly his faith in Jesus Christ, and he experienced baptism. The other reason he's not going to forget it is that the heater doesn't work in the baptismal. And so, he was very thankful it's been warm the past day or two, because it was a little chilly. I was wearing waders, and so I didn't get the effects of it, but I think if I would have left him under just a little bit longer, we might have had hypothermia. And so, he was a brave soul, and so congratulate him not only on his baptism, but I think he's part of the Polar Bear Club now, officially. So, well, we're excited about sharing that experience with him this morning. You know, the Thanksgiving holiday that we just celebrated, it was a reminder that as Christians, we should have a posture of thanksgiving before God all the time. And in a similar way, Christmas, this season of Christmas, this season of Advent, also serves as a reminder that as Christians, we should be always, daily, consistently learning and looking to the person of Jesus Christ. And during this season about Advent, 3 out of the 4 Sundays during December, we're going to look at the offices of Jesus Christ. And these offices of Jesus, what he fulfills, all of them are connected to how we can enter a relationship with God. And it's not that Christ is the only one who has held these offices, but rather he is the fulfillment and the greater, receiver and exhibitor of these offices. Because all throughout the Old Testament, you had mainly 3 offices in play within the redemptive people of God. You had the office of prophet, you had the office of priest, and you had the office of king. And what we're going to see as we walk through this season of Advent is that Christ not only held one or two of those offices, but rather he held all 3 of them. And so this morning we're going to begin our series by looking at Christ as prophet. And in order to do this, I want to go through several biblical passages, but I want to do it in the context of a story, an illustration, if you will. And I hope that these scriptural passages, as well as this illustration, communicate the significance of Christ as prophet. There was this young couple, and they had 2 children. They had a son who was just over 1 year old, and she was pregnant with their 2nd son, who was just about to be born any day. And the father was in the military, and he was serving during a time when their country was at war. And so it wasn't long after the birth of their 2nd child that he was shipped off to this faraway land to serve his country in war. And while he was gone, the baby was born, and these children began to grow up. But the problem was, this was before the convenience of email and Skype and all of these great conveniences. And so, really the only way to communicate was through letters. But unfortunately, they had not received any communication for several years from her husband, from their father. And the mother of the children, she did her best to communicate to these children what their father was like and try to satisfy, you know, she tried to satisfy their curiosity as to who their father was and is. And every day, as the children grew older and were able to do this, every day they would run to the mailbox, you know, to see who could get there first, in expectation that maybe there was a letter. Maybe there was a letter from their father in the mailbox. Now, let me ask you a question for a moment. Why do you think they wanted a letter from their father? Well, it's because deep down, these children wanted a relationship with their father. They wanted to know who their father is. And we all know this, but the only way that you can have a relationship with someone is to know them. And the only way to know someone is if they make themselves known to you. And therefore, these children, they wanted anything, any type of communication from their father because they wanted to know him. They were hungry to know about their dad. They were starving for some type of communication with him. And one day, the children raced to the mailbox to see who would retrieve the mail first. And as they neared the end of their yard, they met the mailman at that same moment at the mailbox. But this time, the mailman paused for a moment and glanced down a few times at his mailbag, and then pulled out this large envelope. And as these children looked at the envelope, they noticed that this envelope looked a little old. It looked like it had traveled a long way, because they noticed there were several stamps on the envelope, several markings. The envelope was a little dirty and wrinkled. And so they were handed the envelope by the mailman. It was bulging. It was filled to capacity. They know it had traveled a long way. And the children, they were in third and fifth grade by now, so they could read. And they saw the envelope, and they read the return address, and they immediately knew this was from their father. And perhaps this letter had just gotten lost, over the years. And somehow it had turned up finally and was delivered to their house. Now let me pause there just for a moment. Up to this point, these children were ignorant as to who their father was and is. Now, I'm not saying that in a condescending sort of way. All I'm saying is they did not know their father. I mean, they knew some general things about him, but they did not know him. Now, let me draw a parallel between this story and our story. In a similar way, we were once ignorant of God. And we're not the only ones. Because for centuries, ever since sin entered the world, there was this ignorance that was present. Listen to what Paul tells the Ephesians in his letter to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verses 17 through 20. He says, "Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ." So what Paul does here is he highlights the fact that before you came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we were ignorant. Before we knew him in a saving way, we were ignorant. I'm not saying that you didn't know anything. I'm just saying you didn't know Christ in this way. You didn't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And because of our ignorance, we lived in rebellion against God. Now, it's amazing how intersecting the life of one person, coming to know one person, can change your life. And all of you have experienced this to some degree. I mean, have you ever met someone, and after meeting them, it changed your life? Maybe it's your spouse, maybe it was your child, or a friend, or a teacher. But we all know that when our lives cross and intersect the lives of other people, our lives can be changed forever. And what Paul tells the Ephesians is that if your life has intersected Jesus Christ, if you have come to the saving knowledge of Christ, then your life will be forever changed. Now this prompts the question, does it not? And that is, well, how do you know? How do you come to know Jesus Christ? Well, before we answer that question, I want to revisit our story about these two children. They grab the envelope, they tuck it under their arm, like a football, and they run it inside, and they hand it to their mother. And their mother knows what it is. It's a packet from her husband. And as she unseals it, she does so in a very gentle way, as if to try to just preserve the envelope itself. And as she opens it up, their eyes are met with several stacks of letters entwined together. Now, once they got their hands on these letters, they sat down in their living room and they began to unfold them and read them. And they noticed that every letter was signed by their father, by her husband. And every letter was written in his handwriting. And immediately they were just overcome with curiosity. And can you imagine? I mean, they were just starving, craving information about him. And so they began to read. And they began to read and read and read until their eyes could no longer stay open. Now let me pause there for a moment. And I want to tell you, this is what people have experienced for centuries as it relates to God. As Christians, we believe that God is a God who speaks. He's a God who makes himself known. And generally speaking, he's made himself known in what has been made in a general sort of way. But more specifically, he has made himself known through what we call the prophets. Now, I would imagine when I say the word prophet, some of you might think of Nostradamus or some type of fortune teller or future teller. But actually, when you think about a prophet and you try to define the office of prophet, this idea of foretelling the future is only a small part of what it means to actually be a prophet. One theologian defines a prophet as one who sees, that is, one who receives a revelation from God, who is in the service of God, who is particularly a messenger, who speaks in his name. I want to share with you an example from the book of Exodus that I think will help us understand the role of the prophet. God raises up Moses and his brother Aaron to lead his people out from underneath slavery from the country of Egypt. And in Exodus chapter 7, verses 1 and 2, this is what the Lord says to Moses. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'See, I have made you like a god to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet. You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people go out of his land.'" And so this is what he's saying. He's saying, "Okay, Moses, when you go in and you accomplish this mission for me, you go on this mission for me, this is what it's going to be like. You are going to be like a god to Pharaoh. And what you're going to do is you're going to tell Aaron, your brother, what I want him to say to Pharaoh. And so you're going to be kind of like the God figure, and then you're going to tell Aaron, who is going to be the prophet, and then Aaron is going to speak to Pharaoh." And so Moses is going to give the message to Aaron, and Aaron's going to give the message to Pharaoh. So Moses, you're going to be like God, Aaron's going to be like a prophet, the Pharaoh is going to be the receiver, the audience. So in a simple way of putting it, you know, Aaron was Moses' mailman. You know, it was not Aaron's job to interpret Moses' message to Pharaoh, ultimately God's message to Pharaoh. His job was simply to tell it. Just tell the Pharaoh what Moses told you to say. And it's like when those children receive these letters from their father. You know, a prophet is a messenger of God. He's a messenger of God's truth, like a mailman is a messenger of these letters of the Father. It's not the job of the mailman to interpret the message. He's simply to deliver it. I want you to listen to how the Apostle Peter describes this process, specifically talking about the Old Testament scriptures that we have in our Bible. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, he writes, "Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So we see a prophet is one who simply delivers God's message. Now, left to ourselves, however, we have a deficit of knowledge. Similar to how these children were before they received the letters from their father. They were in a point of deficit, not knowing who he was. But what we see here from Scripture is that God is not silent, and he makes himself known, and he does so through the office of prophet. Now let's return to our story here. You know, the children and their mother, they're sitting, they're reading these letters, and these children are full of questions. You know, the father is describing all these events and experiences and his thoughts and his emotions, and they're filled with all these questions, and that's the nature of letters, is it not? You know, when you receive a letter, you receive an email, you're reading it, and perhaps you want to know more about what happened, and so you're filled with questions. You would love to ask them this question, but you can't because it's a letter, and they're not standing right before you, and that's the limitation of letters. However, these children, they wouldn't trade these letters for anything, because they felt like by reading these letters, they were beginning to know their father. And they were filled with hope, because at the end of every single letter, their father would say, "I'm looking forward to when I can see you again." In a similar manner, the prophets of the Old Testament, they would tell the people the truths of God. They would tell the people a message from God. But at the same time, they would point God's people to the coming, the future coming of the Messiah, the great prophet, the greater prophet. Now, who would be this great prophet? Well, it's going to be Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to ultimately fulfill the role of prophet. Listen to me as I read Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 17. Because before the office of prophet really began to get established in the people of God, this is what God told Moses to say to the people. In Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 through 18, he says, Moses says to the people, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among you, from your brothers. It is to him you shall listen, just as you desired of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, 'Let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, or see this great fire any more, lest I die.' And the prophet said to me, and the Lord said to me, 'They are right in what they have spoken. I will raise up for them a prophet like you among the brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak to them all that I command him.'" So Moses was serving as a prophet for God. He was communicating God's message to the people. And then he says, but God is going to raise up another prophet for you. And he's going to tell you about himself. And we see in a sermon that the Apostle Peter preaches, recorded in Acts 3, this is what we read in that sermon. He says, "And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, 'The Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaim these days.'" And so what we see here from Deuteronomy straight through the book of Acts is that Jesus Christ is the prophet that all the prophets pointed to. He is the greater prophet. He is the one who reveals God more fully. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, he says, "Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world." And what I want you to see here is that both the Old Testament prophets, as well as others that claim to be prophets in other religions, whether it be Muhammad or the prophets in other religions such as Buddhism and whatnot, all these prophets, what they claim is to know someone and to give you some information about someone greater than themselves or something greater than themselves. However, what we see in Jesus Christ is that Jesus Christ not only came to proclaim truth, he claimed to be the truth. He not only pointed people to God, but he was God incarnate. The Apostle John tells us that no one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known. Jesus is the one of whom God the Father said, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." Why? Because he is the prophet. He's the one who fully represents God in the flesh. Jesus told Philip that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Jesus is the fullness of God in bodily form. He's not just a prophet who is telling you about someone else, but rather he is God himself telling you about himself. And so all those letters those children poured over, reading about the Father, all those letters they received and poured over and read, all the conversations they had with their mother about their father, all those truths finally found their fulfillment when one day they heard a knock at the door. And as they ran to the door, you know, like children will do, these two brothers, they're running to the door to see who can get there first. And the fifth grader, being somewhat stronger, you know, pushed the small one out of the way, grabbed the handle, opened the door. And what their eyes met there was their father standing there with outstretched arms, ready to embrace his family. All the letters, all the conversation, all of it was leading to that point. Preparing the way for that embrace, that engagement with that person. And in the same way, all the Old Testament, all the Old Testament prophets paved the way for God Himself to be standing at the door of our world, clothed with flesh, with pierced hands outstretched, inviting you to come in for the embrace. That's what all of Scripture is pointing to. All of Scripture is pointing to Christ as prophet. He's revealing God. He's inviting you in to a relationship with God. Christ is the prophet. He has made God known to us so that we no longer have to dwell in darkness, but that we can have our hearts enlightened to the saving knowledge of what He's done for us. And even today, Jesus Christ is revealing the Father through the Holy Spirit, through His Word, and even like Ed mentioned earlier, through His people, through His church. And so the question is, for us, I guess there are two. One is, do you know the One who has revealed God to you? Do you know Jesus Christ? He's the only way to know God. He is the prophet, the greater prophet. He is God in the flesh. You cannot know God apart from Christ. Do you know Him? And the second question is, if you do know Him, are you making Him known? That's just what happens when your life is intersected by someone like Jesus Christ, God Himself. We are prompted, we are compelled to make Him known. Just like Christ made the Father known, just like the Holy Spirit makes Christ known, so His church, His people, make Him known as well. You know, the Christmas season, it's a great reminder that God has taken the initiative to reveal Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And the question that we're challenged with is, will we remain in a place of ignorance, not knowing God, if we don't know Christ? Or will we come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ? And my prayer today for you all is that if you don't know Christ, if you don't know God, that you will know Christ this morning. And if you do know Christ, my prayer for you is that you will make Him known wherever you go. Let us pray. Lord, we are so blessed to have Your Word. And as we read it, like those children that read those letters from their father, and anticipating just one day meeting You. Lord, we read the Old Testament, we read the New Testament as it all reflects and points to Jesus. And we are filled with anticipation of standing before You face to face. And Lord, at the same time, we know the only way that will happen in a way that we experience Your embrace is that if we stand before You clothed with Christ. So I pray this morning, if anyone does not know Christ, that they would know Him this morning, that they would place their faith in Him for the forgiveness of their sin. Lord, I pray for those of us who do know Christ, that we would make You known. That we would make You known wherever we go, through our words, through our deeds, that more and more people can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.